Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My next guest is set to perform in Cleveland at the same time as the Republican National Convention. It's fitting since the presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, wants to make America great again. Tom Morello, he wants America to rage again.
Some of those that work forces draw the same that burn crosses. Killing in the name of. Killing in the name of. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya.
Tom Morello is one of the country's greatest protest musicians, writing and performing songs with Rage Against the Machine and as a night watchman. Morello is continuing in the grand tradition, following in the footsteps of protest musicians like Arlo and Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, and Billy Bragg. But Morello has been able to capture the spirit of protest through several different genres. His work with Rage is legendary, including a notorious performance at the 2000 Democratic Convention in Los Angeles. Morello's a local. He grew up in Libertyville. He and his new band, The Prophets of Rage, consists of some of the bandmates from Rage, but also frontman Chuck D from Public Enemy and B Real from Cypress Hill. They're going to be in Chicago at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on Saturday, September 3rd, and he's my guest tonight. Tom Morello, thanks for being here.
Hey, what's going on, man? Good to be speaking to anyone in Chicago.
Well, let's talk about Prophets of Rage. This is great.
Yeah.
I mean, how great is it for you to be a part of a group that includes Chuck D and Public Enemy, one of your early influences?
Yeah, well, Public Enemy and Cypress Hill were two of the formative influences on Rage Against the Machine. They were really sort of the hip-hop side of the coin. And so to be able to rageify the Public Enemy and Cypress Hill songs, as well as deeply exploring the Rage Against the Machine catalog, it seems very appropriate during this election season. Dangerous times demand dangerous songs.
You know, you've talked about the country and the world having a moral conflict, and The Prophets of Rage explores that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Martin Luther King famously said that there's no hotter place in hell than that reserved for people who remain neutral during times of great moral conflict. And we just thought we cannot sit on the sidelines, as our country and our world teeters on the brink of insanity, and we wanted to, inject a different point of view into this electoral season. But importantly, and all politics aside, it's got to be a great rock and roll show first
right.
and foremost. The idea is to weave your convictions into your vocation. My vocation is a shredding electric guitar player. So those skills will be on full display on the Make America Rage Again tour by Prophets of Rage.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the idea that you are able to really strike a nerve with all your fans of Rage Against the Machine, when you think back to the 90s and 2000s,
sure.
where it really was great music mixed with this stand-up kind of protest music. Was that intentional when you started Rage Against the Machine to be that voice?
Yeah, well, we just wrote the song. We told the truth as we saw it. And then I think one of the reasons why it attracted such a large global audience was because that was a lane that nobody else was in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a point of view that was uncensored, unfiltered, and unapologetic in its radical nature. And I think that people, are so used to being spoon-fed, what they see on the news, what they see on their Twitter feed, and to have a rock and roll band that, one, kicks ass, and then, two, has a point of view that is, kind of goes beyond the normal parameters of what you hear in the media. I think it's important. I mean, one of the reasons why we had to form Prophets of Rage in 2016 was because of the I was being inundated from media outlets all over saying that both the Trump and Sanders campaigns were raging against the machine. I'm like, no. We're going to show you what it really means to rage against the machine.
That's so true. You're a kid who grew up in Libertyville. I mean, where did you first experience protest music? I mean, when I mentioned some of the people I mentioned, whether it be the Guthries or Bob Dylan, what was the music that attracted you to the idea of being able to stand up and say something?
Yeah, well, I mean, being able to stand up and say something happened long before I discovered music. I literally integrated the town of Libertyville, Illinois, according to the real estate agent. I was the first person of color to reside within its borders. So, you know, I had incidents on the playground as a young man that made me realize that there was injustice in the world, and maybe someone, you know, Mary Morello, my mom, you know, taught me there's something you can do about that. When it comes to music, it was the Clash, and discovered them at Libertyville Public High School. Some kid brought in, you know, the London Calling record, and you know, up until that point, I had been, you know, kind of wholly invested in heavy metal and hard rock music, and you know, I still am. But the Clash was a band that had a set of ideas that I could relate to a little bit more than the, you know, the wizards and dungeons of some of the metal stuff, and made me realize that, you know, once I became a guitar player, that there was a way to weave my convictions into what I do for a living.
And speaking of weaving, I mean, Rage Against the Machine is a genre-bending experience in the way that, yep, you know, you're bringing in heavy metal and yeah, tremendous electric guitar and also some hip-hop. So talk about how that kind of came together. I mean, because yeah, you think of hip-hop with Chuck D and mm-hmm, Cypress Hill and the other bands that you're involved with now, yeah, as being voice for rising up. But yeah, you don't think about it as much when it comes to sort of rock and or
yeah, that yeah. Well, I mean, with both Rage and now with Prophets of Rage, the music sounds like America. You know, it's got the music of the, you know, white suburbs. It's got the music of the inner city. It's got the music of La Raza. And it's, you know, it's all mashed together. The people in the band look like America. You know, we don't have a female presence, but other than that, sort of ethnically, it's, and the audience, too. I mean, that's one of the things I think that helped really make Rage Against the Machine stand apart, was it was a hard rock band that didn't look like any hard rock band had ever looked. And, you know, the hip-hop angle of it was effective in part because of the big hard rock riffs. And in Prophets of Rage, I mean, we've got this Rage catalog of songs which has been sitting yeah, idle on the sidelines, and it's been so frustrating, you know, as, you know, events over the course of the last, you know, I mean, Rage has worked intermittently over the last 15 years, but not in a way that with a focus to really make the most of the music that we wrote to get out there in one rock fool senseless. But on the other hand, to also have our say during these troubled times.
This is a big week. Obviously, here come the political conventions, and you guys have been a big part of the political conventions of the immediate history of this country. Yep. I mentioned the 2000 Democrat convention outside the Staples Center, where, you know, it essentially turned to a riot, where police yeah, brought out the rubber bullets. To be a part yep, of that, take us back to 2000, yep, and what do you recall about that show and being a part of the political climate of that time?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was one of the most stark contrast. Like, we were playing right outside it was the Staples Center, the DNC was there. There's these huge, you know, three-story tall barbed wire fences that are separating the people of Los Angeles from the delegates, who from the stage we can see, you know, like drinking champagne as they're looking mm-hmm, down at this police riot that is unfolding, you know, at their feet. So, I mean, and we had a similar experience at the RNC in 2008, where
right,
the tear gas was flying, and they, you know, they censored our show. But I think it's important for people to stand up and say, like, this, you know, right, left, and center, people know that things are messed up. Like, it's not new that the system is broken and the system can't fix itself. And so, you know, I vote, but I don't harbor any delusions that casting a ballot into the void every 4 years for the lesser of two, you know, holding my nose in the voting booth every 4 years, that is going to make the kind of substantive change that I want to see and that I want for my kids' future. And the way that change happens is people like your listeners right now standing up in their place and time in what they do and with who they are and their talents and abilities to demand the kind of change that and really demand the world that you want to see, not the world that you settle for because one of the two monopoly corporate parties pushes these candidates in your face and says, oh, this is your choice this time. You know, oh, you got to live with it. So that guy's a racist monster and that woman's, owned by Wall Street. So take your best shot. There you go. I've never thought you have to settle for that. And I don't settle. We don't compromise in our music. We don't compromise in our politics.
Well, I mean, are you in a position as you get older and you get more political, which is hard to say because you've always been political, but
yep,
have you ever thought about entering the political system or trying to take the message that you preach in your music and actually play inside of that arena?
Well, I was a scheduling secretary for a United States senator for 2 years, for Alan Cranston, Democrat from California. So I got to see how the political sausage is made from the inside. And it's horrible. It's like, imagine the worst case scenario. It's worse. like my job, for part of my job was, this is before, you know, like cell phones and stuff like, so we would have a bank of phones. It was my job to call up rich guys, and then the phone would like leave the phone dangling. There'd be like 9 phones just hanging off of pay phones, and the center would just go down one at a time and milk these guys for money. And you know, that money doesn't come for free, because then those guys are calling back and milking him. You know, and God rest his soul, he was a very nice fellow, Senator Cranston, in person. But that's what it means to participate in this. Like, the government has one function, and it's to serve the interests of the people who own the country. That's not you, and that's not me.
Yeah. Tom Morello is my guest tonight, the legendary guitar player for Rage Against the Machine, Audioslave, the Night Watchman, his alter ego, and, of course, the new band, the Prophets of Rage, which includes him, members of Rage Against the Machine, Chuck D from Public Enemy, and Be Real from Cypress Hill. You know, getting ready to play in Cleveland, as here we go again. You know, every 8 years, you guys seem to be right at the center of where we're at in politics. How different is 2016 from, say, 2000, being on stage in Los Angeles? How different is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was very important to us that the first show of our of the Prophets of Rage, Make America Rage Again tour, is the protests outside the RNC. We're playing, we've got an official show on Tuesday. We may have one or more, let's just say, unofficial shows Monday. And, you know, I think it's just important to have a countervailing voice. You know, there's going to be a lot of protesters there, but those are going to be the days where the world's media is going to be focused and really looking about, like, what's America about in 2016? And we're not willing to cede that ground to this candidate, this party, this system.
Were you surprised at the success of Senator Bernie Sanders in organizing and mobilizing the young vote?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, I think that what a year it was, where you've got half the country voting for a fascist and the other half voting for a socialist. I mean, it really means that the two, you know, main monopoly corporate parties, people have now seen through that veneer, and neither one of them represents their interests, you know? And like I said, I do vote, and I think that the shades of difference between the two parties can make the difference between going to war with Iran or not. You know, it can make the difference for older people's pensions and whether or not someone will be able to live or die because they're able to pay a heating bill in the winter. Those things really matter in real people's lives. And so I do vote for the lesser of two evils each time. But it's crucial to think that, like, that's not how you change. Understand, that's not how the world changes. Like, when, and whether the issue was women's suffrage, women getting the right to vote, that didn't happen because some great president got in and waved a magic wand. The civil rights movement did not happen because, you know, some magical, you know, Supreme Court came, you know, was mm-hmm. appointed. It's people, you know, like your listeners, who stood up in their place. Historically, like from the Berlin Wall to the end of apartheid, it's average, everyday, ordinary people who have had enough and stand up in their place and time to change their world.
To be in Prophets of Rage with Cypress Hill, Public Enemy, obviously Chuck D, and of course Rage Against the Machine, you definitely are voice for a generation. All three of those bands have been a voice for a generation. As we move to a new generation, a millennial mm-hmm. generation of 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds that introduce music, you know, you guys have talked about the idea that there aren't bands like Rage Against the Machine bubbling up. I mean, it's one thing to put a supergroup together, but doesn't it really have to be the next generation picking up the mantle and being able to do what you guys did?
Sure. I mean, I think the Rage Against the Machine of now is Bernie Sanders. You know, like that is you know, while I have, you know, differences politically with him about a number of things, that his campaign has made, in the same way that maybe Rage did in the 90s and early 2000s, like the Bernie Sanders campaign politicized this, you know, the particular part of America's youth. And that they, you know, I know these, you know, like these 22, 23-year-old, you know, young people who had never heard of Noam Chomsky or Howard Zinn, and sort of through their, you know, being swayed by, you know, the oratory of Bernie Sanders, they've kind of looked into their own history, and they've become, you know, they've gone from being you know, kind of sorority sisters, you know, focused on fashion, to being, you know, political people who realize that they have their hands on the wheel of history and they can do something about it.
When we think of political music, and I'm thinking a lot of hip-hop stars like we have here in Chicago, Chance the Rapper, who will go on Saturday Night Live and mention Jason Van Dyke, or Kanye West will obviously be able to talk about social and political injustice in his music, but they're not necessarily categorized as political protest music. Do we need to have artists that's their thing?
I think that there are plenty of both hip-hop, punk rock, rock and roll, political artists. They're not as popular as, you know, they're not at the top of the charts like Kanye West or Chance the Rapper. That doesn't mean their work is not important or that there aren't musicians with that point of view. I look at it like, I don't think there's any reason to kind of ghettoize music and say, well, should music be or not be political? First of all, if you're a band and you don't have any political opinions, don't pretend to have them, for my sake. but on the other hand, no matter what your occupation, whether you're a radio DJ or a carpenter or a student, if you do have strong feelings about injustice in the world and ideas on how to fight back or make it better, and then you self-censor because of fear or passivity, that, I think, is a crime. And that extends beyond music. That extends to anyone.
Tom Morello is the legendary guitar player who is part of Rage Against the Machine, also Audio Slave, and now Prophets of Rage, along with Chuck D from Public Enemy and Be Real from Cypress Hill. They're going to be playing at the Republican National Convention protests outside Cleveland, Ohio, and he's also going to be coming to Chicago, Illinois, at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on Saturday, September 3rd. Tom Morello, a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. One last thing is, you know, as a Libertyville native, one, you know, growing up with a single mom who's a public high school teacher at LHS up there, I didn't have a lot of money to spend on concert tickets growing up, so I had to like sort of bargain it out. And one of the things we wanted on this tour was to take into account, you know, these difficult economic times. So there's a base starting ticket price of $20 for every show on the Prophets of Rage North American tour. And a part of the proceeds from each of the concerts goes to local homeless charities or food banks in each city, so we can leave a financial imprint behind, sort of a Robin Hood deal from each of the concerts. So we look forward to seeing you somewhere out on the road as Prophets of Rage. And the last thing I'll say is ask you two questions. What better place than here? What better time than now?